Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, brand new episode here. This is your host, Danny, and also joining me this week for this special podcast, we have Paris here. What's going on, Paris?
What is going on, man? EA Play 2020, we have done it.
Yes. We're going to be talking about EA Play 2020, hosted by Greg Miller. Shout out to him. And we also have a lot of people here watching live. Oh, cool. Awesome. Pretty cool. Shout out to all the viewers here on Twitch. All right, so if you would like to listen to our past episodes and everything, go to GamertagRadio.com and make sure to subscribe. You have a lot of episodes that you can binge right now. Also, you can find us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio. Subscribe, follow, post a review, spread the word. All right? And if you would like to be part of fan mail, this is how you can contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right. So Paris, EA Play. I'll tell you this, man. This probably was the best EA Play that I've seen so far out of all of them. This is the first time I'm saying this because I've never been a fan of EA Play ever. This, I like the content. I like the announcements, the focus of just cross-play, right, from EA, which is good. Is it the greatest of ever? No, but I think I'm talking from out of all the EA Plays, this was my favorite one so far, in my opinion. Your opinion, Paris?
I think I completely disagree with you on virtually every level of what you just said. Really? No, I think this was extremely underwhelming for this being an EA Play that is leading us into the next generation of gaming. Mm-hmm. There's no games in 2020 outside of Star Wars Squadrons, which, hey, we'll talk about more in a second. But there was clearly a focus more on their EA originals, a.k.a. their indie titles that they're putting out. We knew the typical sports games were going to happen with Madden and FIFA. We saw nothing else. Apex obviously is big. And like you said, crossplay is the theme of what EA is doing this year. Another big thing to come out of this clearly was they are moving not away from Origins, but they are moving their games over to Steam as well to give their consumers more of a choice on where they want to get their games from digital storefront, which is great. But for actual, oh my God, jumping up and down, get excited games. I mean, Squadrons is good for what it's going to be. I'm very excited about that, to be able to do that kind of stuff in the Star Wars universe. Definitely the multiplayer modes that they're going to come out with and the crossplay and the VR support. But there's nothing else. This is literally the virtual donut show for them, for me. And when, I let you talk, let me finish. What I'm saying by that is, when we had the donut show 2014 or whatever that was, it was a lot of promises and hope. There was no actual, here's the game, here's the titles, here's what you can expect. And coming in 2021, 2022, all we saw were concepts. They weren't putting their name on anything. Like, yo, here's Battlefield 6. Here's Dragon Age. Where's the Mass Effect remaster that people have been talking about forever? Where's the new original AAA IP from EA that we can expect? We didn't see any of this. And for this to be a year that we're getting next generation consoles and they're just giving us basically PowerPoint presentations again and not actually giving us, here are the titles we are working on. For me, disappointment. I expected more from EA when it came to this. Sorry. The fact that Star Wars Squadrons is the highlight of this show to me. Not that it's a bad game, but it's a $40 game where we're going to do some dogfighting 5v5. That's great. But this isn't the big AAA title I was expecting from EA to showcase this EA Play for 2020. So yes, for me, disappointment.
Okay. Now, when I said the best EA Play, I fell asleep on every single presentation of EA Play. There was never been one that's like exciting. I always find it boring. I'm talking about presentation wise, Paris. Like it was cool. I had fun watching it. I like the stuff that they showed. I like that they were focusing a lot of about crossplay. I'm glad to see that there's games coming up for the Switch. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about next gen and oh my God, where's the wow moment? I'm not talking about that at all. I'm talking about presentation because I always felt like EA Play was always boring to me. I'd never been a fan of EA Play ever. And this is the first time I can say like, hey, you know what? I enjoy watching this. Yes, I agree with you. There was nothing big for next gen, which I totally agree with you with that. But I'm coming from someone that's been watching EA Play throughout the years. Forget about the donuts and all the press conferences in the past. I think those are, besides the donut, but the previous official press conferences from EA was way, way better, where there was a lot of wow moments. But I'm comparing from all the EA Play ones. Me, personally for me. But
no, I get what you're saying. Like you said, the EA Play ones. Because I was going to say, back in the day, the EA press conferences were the must ones to watch, were the must ones to go to. Yeah, mm-hmm. Since the donut show, as we like to call it, they have pretty much been underwhelming. And I'm just going to be frank again. This is more of the same. Look, just keep it real. In the current state of the world we're in right now, look, the production value of this was fantastic. Greg was a fantastic host. All of that was great. Not taking anything away from that, but it lacked substance. That's kind of what I'm saying. If I'm going to be honest, I mean, there wasn't a wow moment in this press conference for me. I'm not an Apex Legends player, but I can understand the Apex Legends community will get excited that we're getting crossplay. We're getting a Switch version of it. They're definitely coming for Fortnite. That's the take that I took from this. And I'm very happy for Respawn that is happening. I'm very happy to see that these legacy EA titles are going to come to Steam to give people that option. I'm very happy to see the EA is clearly adopting crossplay across the board. But I will say again, where is the next gen wow moment title that you would expect in this year of all years? And I'm not saying the game had to come out in 2020, but I really would have liked to have seen them talk about said game. Again, they're still pie in the sky concepts, not putting their name on it. That's my disappointment here. Because again, let's just take it back, even though that game didn't turn out to be great. Where was Anthem? Remember when the Anthem trailer came out? Everyone, oh my God, that was a wow moment at that time. The game obviously didn't live up to that. And again, maybe they're trying to set expectations here. Understandable. Play it safe, so to speak. But I'm just saying, if you're going to do a press conference in the current state of the world right now, I'm just being honest, Danny. We didn't need EA Play this year. They could have canceled EA Play. They could have announced Star Wars Squadrons, the Apex things, and a couple trailers. They could have stuck them in the Xbox or the PlayStation press briefing and would have been fine.
Part I do agree because like that was the thing that we were mentioning on the whole stream. Like, hey, there's no next gen games. What's going on? Like, at least one, right? Like, at least coming soon. They showed that. But it was, again, like the donut days. It was just concepts, and that's it. They didn't mention the name. But, I mean, they showed the video. We know what it was. Like, I know they showed Battlefield. That was when they showed the new Need for Speed and so on like that, right? But I think the only next-gen stuff that they showed was just Madden.
We knew that's coming. That's coming every year. That's not a surprise. Now, I want to backtrack on something I said just slightly. One thing I'm very happy to see that EA did was the way they opened the show. We got the message out there about the first responders. We obviously got the message out there about Black Lives Matter. And then when they showed The Sims, the message of acceptance, no judgment, and inclusion, no matter who you are, is so important to me. I just think in the current state of the world with so many people identifying certain ways, be comfortable being who you are was the message that it was. Don't try and be something that the world tells you you need to be. And I love that message that we got from The Sims. And it's sad in a way that people have to retreat to a video game to get some acceptance because the real world won't accept them for who they are. And I'm not trying to make this preacher or anything, but, you know, I have been a part of the Building Healthy Communities Council with EA the past couple years. And this is exactly the type of things that we talk about, is this inclusion and getting all the racism and the hatred and just everything that happens in online gaming so that it is a welcoming community so people can play together, enjoy these games together, no matter race, gender, sexuality, none of that should freaking matter. We're all people. We all need to just freaking love each other. So I was very happy to see that. But as a quote unquote video game press conference, yeah, I'm sorry. I come away from an underwhelmed, and that's unfortunate because I was really expecting, even if we didn't get the Mass Effect thing, just Battlefield 6 and out something to go, oh, okay, that, oh, ooh, I can't wait till we get that. I can't wait till that comes out. But they didn't do that. So that was a little unfortunate.
I think this would have been the perfect time to show Dragon Age. Like, I know a lot of people.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, exactly. But look, remember, I'm talking about, because that's the thing that I've been talking to Paris for a while now, presentation. Like, I'm not a fan of how Xbox is doing their presentation. I love how Sony presented the PlayStation 5. And as a presentation, this was good. Yes, as a gamer, I'm kind of like, okay, I'm happy that there's a new Skate coming out, Skate 4. Really excited about that, because this, we've been talking about that and requesting that game for years. I'm excited about that. I'm excited that they're releasing more EA originals, because that's one thing that EA hasn't really been pushing throughout the years, is they're like smaller indie games titles from EA originals. Like Unravel was a good game. A Way Out was a good game. But I feel like they need more of that push, you know? So, but a lot of those games that they show is coming out next year in 2021. So at least we have a date, you know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
And what else?
Well, yeah, I mean, we got that. Skate. We got the promise of Skate. I guess let's be clear on that. I mean, I know that's going to be a big excitement for a lot of people that Skate is returning, but it's very clear that that is a long ways off. I mean, we obviously didn't see any gameplay from it or anything. We just got the promise that they're working on it, but it's good to at least know that it's coming. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, no, totally agree. And look, Paris, I get where you're coming from. I know there's going to be people saying, oh, Danny is crazy. Paris is the voice of reason. I totally get it. I get it. But that's the beauty about the podcast. We're never going to agree with things, man. We're never going to agree, you know? So it creates a conversation, creates a debate. So that's how I feel, man. Look, there's going to be people saying that this is probably the greatest thing ever, and there's some that probably hates it, and they don't even care about EA Play. I you know? That's the beauty about us, man. We just talk and have our opinions about things, man. You know what I'm saying? I'm not that type of person. I'm going to change my opinion just because everybody's like, agree with you, Paris, you know? Like, that's how I feel.
Hey, I'm not saying it to me. I mean, you gave your opinion. Yeah. I'm not disagreeing with it. I just told you, in my opinion, here's what I'm thinking. That's it. It's fine.
Yeah, yeah. And whoever wants it, at me. Godfrey. Godfree on Twitter. I'm there. Just hit me up. That's it. No, what else? Well, the key thing of this whole thing is a lot of these games are coming out for Steam and crossplay. That was the focus, the thing that stood out to me throughout the whole presentation. It was just that. So now in the future, every game that comes out from EA, day one on Steam. You don't think so, Paris? And crossplay too.
Yeah. Again, I think crossplay is the best thing to come out of this, because it's very clear this is the theme of next gen for a lot of the, I don't think only just think EA's doing, I think everyone's going to be doing this across the board with their multiplayer games, is look, stop gatekeeping it to one platform, let everyone play together and everything should be fine. And I said it during the live stream, thank Epic and Fortnite for this, because the popularity of Fortnite and Epic having the vision to put this on all these platforms and basically force crossplay to happen across the board. Obviously, Microsoft championed it as well, allowing it on Xbox. And then obviously we saw the PC integration went to the Switch, and PlayStation held out for a while. And then they literally had to bow to public pressure and do it too. So, I mean, now that just opened the floodgates for everyone to be able to do this, and that's going to be a good thing.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, definitely. Anything else, Paris, from that? Or what?
I mean, from EA Play, no, go ahead. What are you going to say?
No, it looked like you were laughing on the stream, so I was like, okay, what's going on?
No.
All right. Go ahead.
No, that was it. You sound like you're going to say something.
No, no. It you were cracking up, so I don't know what it was.
No, I wasn't. I was just, no, I'm just saying that, I mean, as far as EA goes, I mean, like I said, underwhelming event for me personally. There was a couple good messages that came out of it. Clearly, you know, they're showing concepts for next gen. We'll just have to wait longer to see what those are. Apex stuff looks good. We're getting Skate 4 eventually. And yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. And if you're into Madden and FIFA, buckle up. We're getting that too.
Yeah, I'm surprised they didn't show other sports titles. I'm very surprised. But I guess it's just FIFA and Madden for this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Well, I'll tell you this. As a fan of Nintendo Switch, man, I'm excited to try out Apex Legends on that. That's going to be cool. That's going to be cool, in my opinion. So, yeah, I think that's about it from the... Usually when we do the review of these like press conferences, we always have it like short 10, 15 minutes when we do it during E3. So I think this is about it, right? I think this is good.
Yeah. Now we obviously did the EA play, but there was some other breaking news that happened today that we might as well talk about on the podcast.
Go for it.
Cyberpunk 2077 got delayed until November 19th.
All right, so I know we talked about this on the stream, but a lot of theories as to why this is happened. People are saying that the reason why CD Projekt Red pushed it is because of next gen consoles released around that time. Paris on Twitter called them out, like, nope, to like the people that were saying that's not true. That's not because of the reason. It's more because of development, right? And I believe CD Projekt Red posted a statement that there's bugs in the game that they want to work on and to release it. And honestly, I prefer for them to take their time to work on those bugs. And if they have to take even longer, hey, man, I want this game to be the best. I don't want a game that I get and it's buggy and it messed up my experience. I don't want that. That's the worst thing you can do. So we all have to have patience and just wait until the game is good. It's good to go.
Absolutely. And I'm going to read exactly what they posted. Not the entire thing, but the key thing here to what you're talking about. They said, at the time we are writing these words, Cyberpunk 2077 is finished both content and gameplay-wise. The quests, the cutscenes, the skills and items, all the adventures Night City has to offer, it's all there. But with such an abundance of content and complex systems interweaving with each other, we need to properly go through everything, balance game mechanics, and fix a lot of bugs. A huge world means a huge number of things to iron out, and we will spend the additional time doing exactly that. And they also said earlier in it that they realize this kind of betrays the trust that they have built up with the community. And obviously, you guys know how excited I am about this game and how involved I've been with it the past couple years. We just got to be patient, man. It's an additional 2 months, an additional 60 days that will fly by. And then we will get a game that is polished and ready to go out the box. I had posted earlier on Twitter, I just posted some screenshots of The Witcher 3. And I just said, good things come to those who wait, because The Witcher 3 famously got delayed a couple times as well. And then when we got it, it became the masterpiece we all know and love today. Now, what if Cyberpunk would have come out in September? It was a buggy mess. Everyone's up in arms. It was another Fallout 76. Pitchforks are out. CD Projekt Red are hacks. We hate this. But instead, they're saying, let's give it a couple more months. We need a little bit more time for it to cook in the oven. And when it comes out, it's going to be great. It's going to be the masterpiece we all hope and want it to be. So I'm excited for it. And, you know, it is what it is. Delays happen. I'd rather a game get delayed than to come out buggy. Bottom line. So I can wait 60 more days. Now, I'll go on top of that. So I'll just say it officially on the podcast. So Night City Wire is happening June 25th. We're not going to. Well, I won't be live streaming it on the podcast because I'm joining IGN. And I will be a part of IGN's pre and post show for their Summer of Games for Night City Wire. So I just want to thank everyone at IGN believing in me and wanting me to be a part of their production. And should be a lot of fun. So I'm going to do the pre-show. Obviously, I'll watch Night City Wire. Then we're going to come back and analyze it on IGN. And then afterwards, I'm going to join Danny and Pete and then we're going to break it down, all three of us together, and talk about it as well. So next week is still going to be a crazy week, even though this game got delayed. And the other side note is CD Projekt Red made it known that journalists will start to get hands-on time with the game, and there will be preview content coming out for Cyberpunk 2077. And that should be a lot of fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting next week, because we already have stuff recorded for Monday, and we're going to release that. And I just can't wait to sit down with Paris and Pete and just talk about the presentation, because that could have just happened at E3. We would have seen like a 45 minutes to 50 minute presentation, and then we'll record our podcast. It would have been the trilogy, but the trilogy is going to be different this year. Good thing Paris is going to be in IGN. Talk about the game. Once he's done, come on over here, and we're going to continue with the conversation, man. So it's going to be good.
Yep.
Yeah. Anything else from that part?
No. I mean, hey, it's just the current state of the world right now. I mean, I may have been, you know, critical on EA Play, but in a sense, it's good that they're still able to do these things, that we're still able to talk about them and get a distraction away from all the craziness of the real world for a little bit. So, you know, like I said, next week we'll get Night City Wire. I'm sure we'll be talking and debating that forever. And then we know Ubisoft and Xbox briefings are coming up pretty soon in the next few weeks. So there's still a lot of video game stuff to talk about and analyze. Obviously, we got the price wars that are going to be coming with the Series X and PlayStation 5 and all that. I'll say this, now that we know we're getting an all digital version of the PlayStation 5, I'm pretty much at the point that will be the version I will get when I get one. I see no need to, I don't do physical discs anymore. I have a few still left, legacy discs, you know, but I do not go buy physical discs anymore. I get everything digital. And if there is a Series X, I want to be clear here, not Lockhart, a Series X all digital, I would get that too. 100%. Lockhart's not something for me, because I am going to want the higher end hardware, but we know Lockhart is allegedly a thing, and it may come out this year. It may not. And there is also, because Jez Corden over at Windows Central has pretty much confirmed from his sources that whatever Lockhart is, it's all digital. So it'll be, again, interesting to see how they represent that and when they do announce it and show it and what the price is going to be. And congrats to you, Danny, for your interview with Tom Warren from The Verge. That was a great conversation as well. And I guess I haven't been able to comment on this yet, so I will now. I get what he was saying about Lockhart not being for sale at all, and them doing like a $20 all-inclusive. You get, you know, Game Pass with it and all that as a part of the subscription service. I disagree with it in this sense that I think it would upset a certain amount of people to say that they have to subscribe to be able to get Lockhart, that they can't just buy it separately because maybe they don't want to subscribe into the ecosystem. Maybe they just want to own the hardware itself because it's cheap and then just buy the games that they want to play and they're good. Like, what if they're just a Madden guy? They just play Madden. I don't want to subscribe to Game Pass because I'm going to spend $60 a year and I just want a box that can play Madden. That there definitely are people out there that do that. They only get one or two games and that's all they do. So, I like where he was going with it. Absolutely. It makes sense because clearly Microsoft is doing it. What do they call the thing that they already are doing? I forget what it's called exactly.
I can't remember. It's like
All Access or something.
All Access, something like that.
But the point is,
You could do that also with the new console too.
But that's my point. We already know they're going to do it with Series X. So of course they're going to do something like that with Lockhart. But I don't think they're not going to sell Lockhart as well. They're not going to have a scenario where you can't walk into Walmart, Target, or Best Buy and buy Lockhart. They're going to do that. I can't see that scenario. Because the whole point, again, is it's the low-cost option. It's the cheapest barrier to entry to getting into next-gen is supposed to be the whole point of Lockhart. So
yeah. No, agreed. Yeah, I mean, he mentioned it. I never thought about that because I know Xbox been experimenting that for a while now with the all digital version of Xbox One S.
Yeah,
I think we're gonna see that. I think we're gonna see that console at Best Buy, and also you have the option to do the all access one at the Microsoft Store or whatever. So, because remember, not everybody around the world could do that. The whole pay monthly, It's exactly. either you buy and that's yeah. it. So you got to think, because remember, they're going globally when it comes to the launch for Game Pass, xCloud, and the console. So might as well just have options for everybody else, not just, okay, this is in, that's it. I think you're going to throw a lot of people off if you do that. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I think that's about it, Paris. We're good. You know what I'm saying? Anything else before I wrap it up?
No, I think that's it. I think we're good.
All right, so head over to gamertagradio.com. Listen to our past episodes. You could also subscribe, post a review, share with your friends. You could also find us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio, and we're there. You know, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and other places too. So, and yeah, if you would like to contact us to send us questions and comments, here's how you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, we have a lot of questions for fan mail for the next future episode of GTR, so stay tuned. Until next time, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.